Welcome, and thanks for listening to Intrinsic Investigations. My name is Mr. Olivo, and I created this podcast because I've been fortunate enough over the last decade to see unique and thought-provoking projects happen in my classroom, and we wanted a place to showcase them. The true heart of this podcast lies not in the content discovered, but in exploring the personal stories of these young researchers as they journey through uncharted and unfamiliar intellectual terrain. By sharing their stories, we hope to normalize the challenges and frustrations that come with independent research, and also share those moments where students transcend the normal grind of the school day to discover concepts that range from the global to deeply personal. We will begin with a brief introduction to the student of focus, why they pick their topic, and discuss their growth over the course of the last year. It should be mentioned that the opinions expressed in this podcast in no way reflect the opinions of our school district, Bergen County Technical Schools and Special Services, or our school itself, Bergen County Technical High School Teterboro, or the College Board. The work detailed in this podcast was most likely completed in AP Capstone, but this podcast is in no way affiliated with the College Board. Well, it's been a year, and this is our first episode of season two. And to get the ball rolling, we have Cameron here, who is a seasoned AP Capstone pro. He just completed 2 years of the program. So, Cameron, maybe just introduce yourself, and let me give you this question: what did you explore over the 2 years of the AP Capstone program? Like, what did you pursue with your personal interests?
Hello. To answer that question, I would say with my 2 years in both seminar and research, I would say with my personal interest in social change and humanities and the likes, I explored different issues that are faced by different marginalized communities, like Black student mental health within middle schoolers and high schoolers in my seminar. I think it was that was the second quarter. I think it was still the practice ones. And I also did indigenous land reforms. And the last project was Black veteran homelessness crisis. So having that as a foundation coming into this class, I knew that I wanted to continue down that path. So this year I went into my research topic with the idea I wanted to talk about, I believe it was burnout in Black students, specifically in colleges, because I had like a preconceived notion that there would be more sources on that, so I was trying to help myself out. But I think that faded over time because I had like this spark, and I think it was one of our first mini presentations when we were answering questions. There, I believe one of my classmates had asked me how would I be addressing or targeting these questions or perspectives that these students might have in their tweets. And it was specifically, I talked myself into finding the topic that I really was focused on, and it was how Black students express themselves in their experiences at either HBCUs or PWIs. And that really interests me because I said it maybe at the time not realizing how big of an impact I might have, and doing more research and finding that this is a topic that is studied in isolation, as I say in my paper. Having my own research fill that gap is important for me. So,
all right, great. Well, that was a good that was a good overview there, and also a couple of things you touched on, the importance of one, what these courses allow you to do in terms of picking what you want to explore and what you want to examine, and two, the catalyzing nature of feedback when someone tells you something and, you know, you're like, oh, I never considered it that way, and then it ends up taking you down a completely different path than you had planned before. But for the uninitiated who may not know, maybe explain what HBCUs and PWIs are, just because that's going to make up the bulk of the conversation we're about to have for the remainder of this.
Absolutely. So I would say a basic understanding between the difference in an HBCU or PWI is first in the name. So an HBCU stands for Historically Black College or University, and PWI stands for Predominantly White Institution. So HBCUs can consist of the more prestigious ones like Howard, Morehouse, Hampton, stuff like that. And PWIs take up a larger majority, I would say, of American education institutions. So some might not realize, but just based off the geographical location of different Ivy Leagues, those are by definition PWIs because of their historical, historical unfavoring, the historical foundation was not built to benefit the black education experience.
The communities that they served they preferred to serve at the time were historically not people of color.
Yes. So by definition, Ivy Leagues fall into the category of PWIs, and different other schools like the different sports state schools, like some that come to mind are like Ohio State, stuff like that. So those fall into the PWI category. And setting that as a foundation, knowing that it allows someone that's just finding out about, like, if they just stumble upon the research, they're like, oh, what's an HBCU? What's a PWI? If they take 10 seconds to, this is a historically black college, university, and a predominantly white institution, and they put that into the context of being a black student, that might automatically put an idea in their head about, oh, what are some differences that a black student might face or encounter at these different racialized institutions.
So initially you wanted to look at, I'm assuming, academic burnout for black students at the college, like the higher education level, at the college level.
Yes.
And you ended up pivoting more toward perception of their experience in these PWIs and historically black colleges as expressed on Twitter.
Yes.
So that's what the project essentially became. Before going into this, what did you expect to see about the perspectives of the students that you examined? Tell the audience, who were the students that you chose to examine? What were you looking for in what they were saying? And what ultimately were you trying to discover about their experiences in HBCUs or PWIs?
So first, it starts with the tweets that I chose. So the criteria I had was the user must identify themselves as black or African American. And second, the user must identify themselves as attending either an HBCU or a PWI. Next, the tweet must discuss their personalized experience with their racial identity in context with their educational experience. And lastly, the tweet must come from an individual, obviously, rather than a community or organization. So that helps gather these experiences from firsthand accounts of these students.
So just to clarify, for example, let's say there's a black student union at Harvard. You wouldn't be looking at what they would be saying in a tweet.
Correct.
But someone could be in a BSU at Harvard, but it would just be their individual experience and what they were tweeting about what was happening.
Yes. That happened pretty often where a community, there would be multiple accounts like Howard BSU or Hampton HBCU community. But I would refer, in the beginning, I was contemplating whether that should be used, but that comes more from an individual that could be changing their perception or putting up some sort of tweet in order to gather in a group's experience or perceptions or perspectives, stuff like that. But I wanted specific tweets from individuals. Like if I checked their bio and it said Howard 20 alum, like that's perfect.
Okay, gotcha. So you took these tweets, you have your target demographic of people that you're going to be looking at. How did you, basically, what was your research? Like, how did you explore this qualitative data of what was being said? How did you break that down systematically?
My research lied in trying to pinpoint the specific, using the opinions, perspectives, and perceptions that Black students had while attending their HBCUs or PWIs. It would be used in further thematic analysis to like gain find the specific themes and the most reoccurring themes in how Black students felt at their different racialized institutions.
So a thematic analysis, what does that look like for people who, not many high school students are out there doing thematic analyses, so what were the supports you had in place? What does that look like when you're looking at tweets?
So first, like taking the tweets, I had to lay everything out as organized as possible. So even before I did the thematic analysis, there was three steps that I needed. So needed to go about categorizing each tweet. So I used one, it was finding whether or establishing whether it was positive, negative, or neutral. Then second, it was the tone taken by the user. So the attitudes, whether they were feeling a higher level of anger, any type of emotional feeling. And then last, the subject at hand. So for example, one reoccurring example of a grievance that was had by HBCU students was Howard's housing crisis. And that being a subject, going back to the tone, that would be taken in a more stern, that would be used in a, the user would use a more stern tone talking about the housing crisis, and obviously that would be maybe negative. So let's say that is the tweet I'm using. With the 56 total tweets that I had chosen from individuals at either HBCUs or PWIs, 30 tweets from HBCU students and 26 from PWI students. That was then put into, after that manual three-step analysis, I went back and tried to find three major themes. And those, one of the most prominent was the idea of triple consciousness, which I coined in my research, that expands on the original concept from W.E.B. Du Bois' double consciousness of the perceptions, the awareness of institutional perceptions, as well as the judgments of Black peers. And that specifically calls, that references my codes, actually. So for anyone that wouldn't be, there isn't like as knowledgeable about the research process, like the codes that I used were noted in between the three-step analysis and the thematic analysis. So one of those codes specifically was intra-racial, either appreciation or judgment. So obviously there's a positive and a negative side to that. So because I saw such a great high prevalence of intra-racial judgment, I saw that the perception other Black students had towards their peers, that's definitely a point of contention, especially not only in the educational space, but for the Black community themselves. And I remember a specific point, like it kind of clicked for me when the source within the last, I believe, 6 to 8 years, it was from Nikki Khanna and Cheris Harris, or I apologize if the name was said wrong, but that using that to talk about Black identity politics on a major scale, it really did help. That helped establish that idea that Black students can tend to, I wouldn't want to say police, but manage the perceptions of Blackness as it stands because of the contentious nature of a American, identity politics as a whole.
I'm going to make an assumption here that you came into this project. I know you wrote a positionality statement in your paper, but I'm going to make an assumption here that you came in with preconceived notions of what you thought you were going to see. And how did this project ultimately meet your expectations or surprise you? Were there particular things that you saw? You know, you talk about double consciousness and expanding that to triple consciousness. Obviously, you had to be aware of what double consciousness was before. I think you were aware of it before you did the
to a degree. I was aware of Dubois' work.
Or you were aware of intra and interracial dynamics. So how did this project, again, challenge or agree with some ideas that you had going into it?
I would say on the agree side first, that the preconceived notion that I had that obviously black identity politics would play a role in how black peers viewed each other's experiences and how they express the idea of blackness. We've had the conversation about asserted versus
ascribed. Like your identity being asserted by yourself. Like, yes, this is how I see myself versus ascribed of this is how everyone else sees you.
Yes. Yeah. So that idea, even on a high school level, that is something that occurs. So like the expression of the idea of blackness, it expands beyond my environment into the environments of those students and alum that I found in my tweets. So I would say that preconceived notion was somewhat definitely supported in my work through both interracial appreciation and judgment that I noticed. One aspect of my research that expanded my thinking, I would say learning more about the individual black experiences at PWIs. So previously I had never really taken the time to think about how a black student on a college level experiences different racialized discrimination. And that being at a place like, I remember when I originally started, I kind of wanted to do specific colleges. So I went in, there was a specific, when I put the keywords into Twitter for my tweet analysis, like choosing, I put Howard racial discrimination and Harvard racial discrimination. And a lot of the results that I found, one, it was interesting because there wasn't many individuals. A lot of them were, like I said, I wouldn't include were communities.
Oh, so it was more on the community level.
Yeah, and it was interesting because within the first three tweets, it was advertising the idea that in, I believe it was either 2023 or 2024, the student council has had their first black president. And for Harvard to be such an established higher education institution in America, that while it is unfortunately not surprising, it was interesting to see that. So on an institutional level, black students facing racial discrimination, it definitely, at PWI specifically, that was eye-opening. And even on the HBCU side, more intraracial, obviously, in comparison to PWI's interracial judgment and appreciation of, and the likes. It, on the HBCU side, it was definitely, it leaned heavily more on that identity management of trying to portray positive black identity. I heard this concept before described. I can never remember what it is, but I think from a teacher that I've had before, they described their experience at one of their previous schools, that a black student had walked into their class and another teacher, who one of the only other black teachers in the school, had walked in and told that kid to make sure they're presenting themselves in such a way that isn't frightening or frightening or scary or in any way negative that would leave anybody that's not in the Black community with any sort of bad taste in their mouth with, for lack of a better word, with how Blackness is expressed. So that type of phenomenon happening at HBCUs for peers happened.
Where would that example you just gave fall under your thematic analysis?
I would see that if a student was describing that exact same experience, I would say both intra-racial judgment and also maybe some sense of institutional criticism, HBCU focused, because of a teacher, because it's from a teacher that's at their institution.
Now that you say the word institution, I want to make this clear, and correct me if I'm wrong. Your work is firmly centered in higher education.
Yes.
However, I'm sure the principles that you explored could be applied to any educational level, even down to possibly elementary, middle school,
absolutely,
high school. This is something that commonly happens in this class is students do social science projects. I have some students who do, I guess, what would be considered traditionally the hard sciences of biology and chemistry and physics. But most of the time, students are doing social science projects. And I feel like there's this bias from the hard sciences of like, well, it's too subjective. What could we really draw from it? And what are the real world implications? Ultimately, what do we do with this? So your work seems focused around this idea of the presentation of race in different in an educational institution.
Yes.
What do you think are the real world implications of your work? With all the limitations, you looked at how many tweets?
56.
Okay, so we can't draw any true definitive conclusions, but what can people be mindful of, or how does it connect to larger bodies of literature to say, hey, students of any color, what should you be mindful of in your educational settings?
I would say for students of any racial or ethnic background, I think first it starts with a recognition of the institutional biases historically and how that affects everyone today. I remember for a specific mini presentation, obviously the Who Cares presentation, I attempted to base more of my research on, or part of the research connection in the literature review on trying to connect racial discrimination for Black students to that of students of Asian backgrounds, for example. So I think with that, two things I learned from that was, one, that obviously every racial discrimination is different for in any case. It's never monolithic. And two, that it taught me that it showed me that different audiences for the research, it would take more time to establish that, racial discrimination for Asian students, for example, versus Black students, which obviously is a topic of its own, with identity politics between the Black and Asian community, which I've also been interested in doing research on. We can get into the identity, self-identity soon.
I mean, that's a whole can of worms right there.
Yeah. So just the idea that, identity politics does play a role. But back to the implications, real world implications. I would say, to break it down as I did in my final presentation, something that PWIs and HBCUs can take away as institutions are, one, for PWIs, that more funding, grants and endowments, stuff like that, that is necessary, I would say, to create more safe Black communities within those institutions, like you can check the racial breakdowns of different places like Michigan University. I think I did that most recently for my own college choosing process. And I value the idea of like diversity and seeing such a trend in maybe it's the area, clearly, maybe, but like more northern, northeastern states, like where we are and surrounding, like Michigan University, most of them having single digit black populations within their schools, that it definitely calls for a need for more healthy and managed spaces for black students. So creating more safe communities, as well as taking more time for faculty and staff to, as I mentioned in my presentation, maybe doing communications or microaggressions training. That's definitely a thing that could be done in order for these students to feel more safe, just on one step at a time. And for HBCUs, like I said before, grants and recognizing, for policymakers specifically, recognizing that HBCUs play a very unique role in higher education for black students and creating a more universally, I would never say that, that's overstep. I mean, a higher black population within these HBCUs that's very unique. So that supporting that in any way for the betterment of black education is necessary.
You're a junior in high school right now, and next year you have to figure out, I'm assuming you're planning on going into higher education.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've done this topic and you've explored it. Where is it, how is it impacting you as a black student who's about to select a higher education institution? And is there anything else that other black students nationwide should consider while choosing between an HBCU or a PWI for their higher education needs?
I would say, while clearly not, the college choosing process for every black student is never going to be monolithic, and I would...
Yeah, it's not universal, so yeah, maybe definitely. Just general tips.
Yeah, so I would say for any... First, consider where you feel comfortable as a black student. And I think for me, in conversation with a peer, that's, we're both one of your previous students, some student last year, of with us both being black high school students that are considering applying to like Howard University and the likes, knowing where you're comfortable and where, what communities you feel safe in, that's very important. And with each individual community, there is also the communities around it. Obviously, there's, if you're in a safe black community that's intraracial cohesion and like intraracial appreciation with one another. But outside of that, if you're considering attending a PWI like Michigan University for any reason, with every university, it takes a different like navigation. I say this a lot in my paper, the idea of complex identity navigation. So being able to manage your own self-reflection, and that's that third piece of the consciousness that expands.
That's the triple right
there. Yeah, that is the triple right there. So beyond institutional perceptions and the judgments of fellow black peers, that third idea is the self-reflection of how education can affect identity. And with that in mind, that triple consciousness in mind, that can give a black student maybe just a little bit more comfortability in choosing and knowing and feeling comfortable in their decision of whether they're at a HBCU or a PWI and the likes. And yeah, with every black student being different, it definitely is on the individual to know where they're comfortable.
How can black students better support one another on a social and educational level to create further community support?
I would say on a community level, with each individual in a healthy or safe feeling black community, it definitely showing fellowship, it's important, and taking the time to appreciate the differences in black culture, especially in America and in different communities. Like, I would say I'm gifted enough to be in an environment at our school that is at least a more growing community of black students, especially at our Black Student Union. I would say having that care for one another on a micro scale, all that can do is grow towards higher education, like at an HBCU or a PWI, especially with at PWIs where intra-racial communities are necessary in making people feel more comfortable.
We are almost out of time, so I have time for one more question.
Yeah.
And it goes back to something you just said. In your high school education, what do you feel like the most important support for you as a black student has been? You mentioned the BSU before, but has there been anything else? Let's elaborate on that and close with that.
You said
I'm going to say at the institutional level.
Yeah, on the institutional level. I would say since when I was in elementary, I grew up in a place where I didn't always see similarities in racial background, and that idea of combating tokenism, that on a like elementary level, I came to think that that was going to be the norm. So obviously going from elementary to middle and middle to high school, both seeing different perspectives on education from different peoples of color and seeing greater like scholars and reading more and finding more out about people that are people of color that have excelled in higher education. If you ask me or my father, the name Ta-Nehisi Coates comes up a lot in our house. And like literature like that comes up a lot. So seeing more literature like that and seeing people around me going into high school especially, that definitely helped me expand my own, on an institutional level, I would say it definitely expanded my thinking.
Sorry, the phones are ringing off the hook over here, which means we have to go. But thank you, Cameron, for being the first student for season 2. Literally, the bell just rang.
Yes.